FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is 1/17/19, and well, insurance always been a very staid, kind of dry, not a rapidly changing industry by any stretch. You got your giants in there, and they basically print money and they buy up real estate all over the place, make loans and such. And well, you know who they are, but just go into any major city downtown, even minor cities, less populated cities, and you'll see that the biggest buildings there generally have insurance company names on them. And there's a reason for that. But change, while it might come slowly to an industry, inevitably it will come. We're going to be talking about that. And for future reference, email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. We answer all. So Sean Harper's with us. He is kind of heralding in a new type of insurance company. Name of his company is Kin, K-I-N Insurance, and it's out of Illinois and Tampa Bay. And Sean, it's great to have you. So the insurance industry, kind of like it's been since the Middle Ages when they invented insurance, change generally comes very slowly to this industry.
Yeah, absolutely. That's very true of insurance. It changes really slowly.
Yeah, very staid industry, but you're kind of shaking things up now, aren't you?
Yeah, we are, absolutely. And the idea that my co-founder Lucas and I are, we've been doing this sort of financial tech startup thing a few times now in different areas of financial services. And the reason that financial services is such a good place to do this is that if you look at the center of a bank or an insurance company or stock trading firm, they're actually a technology company. This is actually software, because there's no physical thing. It's all done on the computer, or it could be all done on the computer. Yet, if you look at the actual technology that these insurance companies or banks or whoever are deploying, it's actually really antiquated. A lot of the insurance companies in the United States were started in the 1930s and then initially adopted computers in the 1970s and 1980s. Many of them are still running on that initial hardware software. They're actually still running on mainframes with green screen. And there's just a ton of band-aids built up on top of them. And so if you walk into one of those big insurance companies with the big buildings that you talk about, and you find the smartest people working there, you'll often find that they're really frustrated because all of their cool ideas can't get implemented in any sort of reasonable time frame because the tech is so old. And so that was what we were looking to do, is really just start from scratch with a clean sheet of paper and modern technology. Technology has gotten so much better over the last 40 years, and build it from scratch to be really efficient and really consumer friendly and really high tech.
So give us some examples of efficiencies here.
Yeah, so one big example is that insurance is sold through lots and lots of branches. And it used to be that, the back in the day, the way that you had to buy something that was reasonably complicated was to have a guy to explain it to you. Now you can actually hit our website and get a really good explanation of how the insurance works, run through a bunch of different scenarios, and really self-service and buy the insurance without the help of an intermediary. And so that the cost of that intermediary is actually really extreme. It's about half of the cost structure of the insurance industry if you exclude the cost of paying claims. And you can see it in every town. There are actually more insurance agencies than there are fast food restaurants, which is kind of nuts, because I eat fast food, well, most days. and yet people don't really go to visit insurance agencies at all. So we can eliminate that sort of physical branch network that's really expensive is one good example. And then the other one is, if you actually go into one of those branches, what you'll find is that the people there are spending a lot of time not talking to the customer. And what they're doing is they're sort of wrestling with the insurance company computer system. It's not uncommon at all to see an insurance agent who actually has four internet browsers open, on a screen. You'll have Internet Explorer, you'll have a new version of Firefox, an old version of Firefox, and maybe Chrome. And the reason is that the insurance company software will only run in like one of those browsers.
Mm-hmm.
There's some of them won't run in IE, some of them will only run in IE. And then the other thing that you'll notice on those guys' screens is they almost always have Zillow open. And they're actually physically copying data from Zillow into the insurance company's website. And that's how they're getting information about the risks that they're insuring. So in addition to eliminating those physical branches and allowing us to reduce a lot of costs, it also allows us to go straight to the source for the risks that we're insuring their buildings. And there's a ton of data now available about buildings coming from government records and also increasingly coming from aerial and satellite imagery. We can look at an aerial photo of a building and use an image recognition algorithm that can tell us everything about the building, tell us what it's made out of, what condition the roof is in, how big it is, how many stories it is, what the pitch of the roof is, and so on and so forth. So we're actually able to use like thousands of variables that are algorithmically and automatically collected instead of having some guy sitting at a desk copying a couple fields from Zillow into the system. And those are just some examples. There are really just lots and lots of things that can be automated that are currently done in a very suboptimal way.
Right. And these companies are so profitable that they haven't really, they look at cutting costs in terms of cutting payouts on claims, not really on operational factors, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, you'll see if you go to one of those big buildings, you'll see when at 5 o'clock or sometimes even earlier, 4:30, you'll see just like a traffic jam of people leaving them. And the reason is that there's a lot of stuff that could be done in an automated way that's happened in a manual way just because they've always done it that way.
Right.
And then the other thing, as you pointed out, insurance companies do like, they've made so much money throughout history. They all have private jets. they all have giant built skyscrapers, and they've just never really had to pay too much attention to the cost side of things.
So you're not flying around in a GS 650, I take it?
No, certainly not. We're not very yet. Frugal.
Not yet, huh? Well, so
obviously, I don't think that's ever in the cards for us.
Are you publicly traded?
No, we're a private company. We were started about 3 years ago. We're backed by venture capitalists and private equity firms, and actually by some insurance companies too, who want to sort of get a piece of the innovation. But we do aspire to go public one day.
Okay, so you're private, so all the more reason to keep those costs down for certain. So if you had to like point to you in an Allstate and say, what's the biggest difference between the two of you, what would it be?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Otis Gold Corp is a gold development and exploration company with quality projects in the pro-mining state of Idaho. Otis's flagship Kilgore project has a resource of 961,000 gold ounces, and its recently published preliminary economic assessment demonstrated an impressive post-tax IRR of 53% at $1,500 gold. In addition to the significant expansion potential at Kilgore, Otis is exploring its highly prospective Oakley project. This Carlin-type gold deposit already has an inferred resource, and previous near-surface drilling intersected 123 meters of 0.69 grams per ton gold. Otis Gold Corp trades in New York under the ticker OGLDF and in Toronto under the ticker OOO. That's 000. To learn more, go to otisgold.com. That's otisgold.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
It's really the technology at the center of it. And you really can't overstate the need to have a nimble and modern tech system. You know, at Allstate to do, just to use an example, at Allstate to do sort of basic optimizations and improvements and changes to the insurance product or to the user experience is really expensive and is likely to cause side effects and could very easily take years. For the most part, we're able to change things really quickly in a matter of minutes. Like, for example, our software system deploys, you know, sometimes as many as 10 times a day. Those changes going out, optimizations going out on almost an hourly basis. And that's a huge advantage because, you know, the world is changing fast and the data that's available is changing fast. And even the weather is changing fast. And being able to adapt to that quickly is, is really, really important.
All right. Well, sounds like a pretty interesting time and possibly a time of transition for the insurance industry. So your primary focus is property and casualty, right?
Yeah, that's correct. We're primarily a property insurance company. So we insure buildings. A small part of that is commercial buildings, but the majority are actual single family homes and sort of small residential buildings. And we insure those buildings primarily in catastrophe exposed areas. So those are places where hurricanes happen or wildfires happen. And it can be really hard in some of those areas and really expensive to get insurance. And that's what makes those an interesting market for us because there's more money in it. And also because it's changing faster. And also because those are the customers that really need it the most. And that's what's important to me as an entrepreneur is making a product that's meaningful to our consumers.
Mm-hmm. So what about claims history? How long have you been around?
We've been around for about 3.5 years.
3.5 years. So you've been through a few hurricanes. You've been through some adverse fires in California. What's the profitability of the company look like?
It's been profitable from a claims experience perspective. We're about 15 points below the performance of our peers in our geographies. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty meaningful difference, and will eventually allow us to pass on to the consumer 15 points lower cost. Mm-hmm. So in addition to the cost savings that come from the efficiencies, we'll actually have a cost savings because our claims experience is better, which is pretty exciting. We want to be pretty careful before we start doing that because the weather does change every year. We want to make sure that that's a stable number, that 15% improvement.
With numbers like that, I would think you're getting a lot of interest from your competitors in the industry.
Yeah, they're all really paying a lot of attention to what we're doing. And it's a healthy thing. You know, one of the biggest problems with insurance, and we're huge believers in the efficient markets. A lot of us went to the University of Chicago. We believe very strongly that markets need to work for people, that capitalism works best and really only works when there's free entry and exit. And one problem with insurance historically is it's been a really hard business to enter. It's sort of a closed industry. It requires a lot of capital. The regulatory requirements are pretty significant. It's a complicated business. And as a result, not that many firms have entered. And when firms aren't entering, it's really easy for the incumbent players to become complacent. So we feel good, you know, not only that we're like providing a really good product to the consumers ourselves, but we're also sort of forcing the industry to up its game.
It needs it. Because it's not, in a lot of ways, it's not much different than the insurance companies that started out in England in the 1500s in the coffee shop, had a blackboard with chalk and they wrote their policies right up on the board. Here, it's a lot different. What are the downsides here, though? Because obviously, you know, all technology is not created equal. If you have problems, you know, you don't want to be on the bleeding edge of technology, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think that's right. And really, a lot of what we're doing is we're not an R&D lab. We're not doing rocket science. We're really taking best practices from other industries and applying them to an industry that hasn't seen them. You know, so I think a lot of the stuff we're doing, for example, my last company before this was a payment processing company. And payment processing is an industry that used to look very similar to insurance. It was heavily intermediated. There were lots of middlemen. It was a lot of sort of old-fashioned companies. But now if you look at the highest market cap payments companies, many of them were started in the last 15 years. And the technology that you need to be a profitable payment processing firm, yes, we're pushing like thousands of transactions a second or even more, tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands. In insurance, the bar is actually pretty low from a tech perspective because each policy is pretty valuable. So in order to be a meaningful insurance company, you need to be pushing thousands of transactions a day, not thousands of transactions a second. So the technology is absolutely able to handle it. It just hasn't really been applied to this domain before.
Interesting. Well, we wish you the best of luck on it. A lot of people believe, and I've kind of felt it at times as well, that insurance companies are in the business of not paying claims. But if you can lower your exposure and lower your costs at the same time, then these catastrophic events, when they do happen, will probably be easier to weather with your reserves. I assume you've been growing your reserves pretty rapidly.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, the less money you spend on wasteful overhead, the more money you have to pay claims and or lower costs for the consumer. And those are the things you care about as a consumer, is how much does this cost and, you know, how fairly is my claim settled? So we feel really good about that, you know, because we've been able to take costs out of the system and give it back to the consumer. And then the other thing I should mention is that we are a small company, but we reinsure with some of the biggest reinsurance companies in the world. And we reinsure with some of the big European reinsurers. We reinsure in Bermuda. We reinsure in Lloyd's of London. And so we're really buying a lot of reinsurance to back us up. And one thing that really appeals to these reinsurers is the amount of data and technology that we're bringing to the problem is better. So they feel really confident that we're, you know, using tech to do responsible and accurate risk selection and pricing, which is why they back us.
All right. And do you see you spreading this model to other sectors of insurance, like professional liability, auto insurance, life insurance, perhaps?
I think we have a bunch of our peers, other tech companies that have a similar angle that are in those. We really see ourselves as experts at understanding a physical property, and that's pretty core to what we do. We're going to be doing property insurance for a long time before we consider going into other lines of insurance. Having said that, there are lots of other types of property insurance. We could start insuring a larger building. And then one thing that we're doing is expanding the types of coverage that we offer. So for example, homeowners insurance actually usually doesn't cover flood damage.
Correct.
And that's a really big problem because flooding is getting more and more prevalent for a variety of reasons. And flood damage can be catastrophic. You know, there are places that flooded in Hurricane Harvey in Houston 2 years ago that still haven't really been rebuilt yet. Mm. And that's because people didn't have flood coverage. So we have a really cutting edge flood product that we're launching shortly that I think will be really successful. So that's just one example of there's lots of different types of risks that involve really understanding the physical properties of a building. That's what our sweet spot is.
Okay. Well, hey, we wish you the best of luck. It sounds like you're on the cutting edge, and we'll be expecting to see more out of you. If people want to find out more about you, Sean, check out the company. Where do you go?
Check out the company at our website. It's kin.com, KIN.com, kin like family. And we take that really seriously. We really aim to treat our customers like they are a family. And I think it shows in our online reviews, which are very, very close to perfect.
All right. That's unusual for an insurance company. Most people are angry at insurance companies for one reason or the other. One is that they pay all this money and they never make a claim. Then they do put in a claim. Then their rates go up or the company tosses them. We see that a lot. Hopefully you'll be changing the image of the company, of the industry, as you develop your company and grow it. Questions or comments, just email us kl@carrylutz.com, Twitter feed @CarrieLutz, Facebook page is Financial Survival Network, and visit us at our home website, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Sean, we wish you the best of luck. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you very much.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.